We're hearing a performance recorded live at the Left Bank in Baltimore, featuring master saxophonists Al Cohn and Zoot Sims. Here's a description of what such sessions were like. In a downbeat review of a 1985 performance by Cohn and Sims at the Blue Note Club in New York City, reviewer Michael Bourne began by recalling a review of the duo he'd read 30 years before. Bourne wrote, "They were playing," the 1955 critic wrote, "definitive jazz. They'd call the tunes as they played. Something swinging, some ballads, some blues, whatever they felt like playing. They didn't fuss, they didn't show off. They just played jazz." Noting that nothing had changed in that respect, Bourne went on to talk about the musical relationship between Al Cohn and Zoot Sims as he himself saw it. "They've always been a natural together. Al blew hard, Zoot blew softer. Al's sound is darker, full-throated, often honking and hollering. Zoot's sound is the more lyrical. If they were tap dancers, Al's the heel and toe tapper, Zoot's more the sandman. But they dance to the same drummer." That report from the Pocono Record in February 1988, featured in the note as well, issued by the Al Cohn Memorial Jazz Collection at East Stroudsburg University. The Al Cohn Collection has as its mission stimulating, enriching, and supporting research, teaching, learning, and appreciation of all forms of jazz, especially those connected to the Pocono area of Pennsylvania. Matt Peschlishan is a saxophonist and coordinator of the Al Cohn Memorial Collection, and he takes a multi-pronged approach to fulfilling that mission. This Thursday, it's the annual Zoot Fest celebration at the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg, and we had a chance to speak by phone with Dr. Peschlishan about the collection and the concert.
Al Cohn and Zoot Sims, they were like a musical duo, so to speak. They were both tenor saxophone players. Very different styles. I mean, Zoot was more of like a kind of like lyrical, just feel kind of player that had a great sense of rhythm and like simple lines, like repetitive type catchy things. Al Cohn was more of a heady kind of player. He was a prolific composer and arranger also, you know, so he was, I guess I would say, a little more advanced harmonically and stuff, but they really complemented each other in that way, and they worked a lot together. I mean, Zoot was always in the bands that Al arranged for, but they also did a lot of small group stuff too, with the two of them in a rhythm section, you know, so all throughout the 60s and onward, Al was playing into the 80s when he died, and so was Zoot, so they had like a lifelong career together.
What's the connection with your neck of the woods?
Well, around, you know, I'm not exactly sure what year, but eventually, I believe Bob Dureau was the first person to move out to the Poconos from New York City. All these guys were working in the resorts and stuff out here periodically. And then one day, Bob was kind of fed up with the city, and he was like, "Well, I'm working out there anyway. I might as well just live out there." So he was the first one. Bill Goodwin was out here pretty early on, the drummer. And then Phil Woods with his wife, Jill, well, then his girlfriend, moved out here. And everybody kind of followed, you know, and Al Cohn was one of those. Zoot never lived here, but he was always around because Al was and everybody else was. But they made the Water Gap, the Poconos, their home, and they were here playing and hanging out and doing everything here. So when they died, when Al died, his wife, Flo, along with some people in the music department at ESU and the president at the time, started the Al Cohn Memorial Jazz Collection with all of his stuff. So that's really how the whole thing came to be. And then since then, Phil Woods has donated a lot of his stuff. We have Dave Liebman, who is like a generation younger, donating a lot of his stuff. Of course, Bob Dureau brings stuff over. I mean, everybody's kind of been contributing to this resource since, actually this year is our 30th year. So for 30 years, they've been donating either financially or records or interviews or magazines and this and that, you know, so we have all kinds of stuff there, and it's all because of these guys moving here and kind of setting up camp in the Poconos.
And you are the keeper right now of this collection. And one of the things you've always told us, Matt, is that you really want the public to mix in and listen to these recordings and look at these magazines.
Yeah, a lot of times you think of a collection like this, like in the university library or something, as a resource for the students and stuff, which it is. But in addition, you know, the whole point here is to get the community involved. I mean, there's the community of jazz musicians, which, you know, they come over. And that's part of the concert series that I do, is trying to get the local jazz musicians on campus and showing what they can do to the campus community and kind of the ESU campus giving them a venue to display that stuff. And then, you know, in return, the campus provides the community with all this housing of these resources and you know, the funding to have these concerts put on and stuff. So it's really like a mutual give and take, I like to think, you know, and I like to just get more people from the community, and not even necessarily like the Poconos, like right around the university, but, you know, the Lehigh Valley, up where you guys are in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area, all over into New Jersey. I mean, I'd love to just make ESU this place that people think about when they think of where they can hear jazz, where they can experience this kind of stuff.
And you have an event that sounds fun. It says Zoot Fest. It sounds so great.
Yeah, this was established. We did the first one, I believe, back in 2005 under a different name. It was the Jazz Jubilee back then for the first year, and then it became Zoot Fest. And we kind of called it that just to honor, you know, it's like everything you see with the collection is Alcone this, Alcone that. But we don't want to forget that Zoot was an equal partner in this musical kind of product that they created. So we have Zoot Fest in honor of Zoot. And it's called Zoot Fest, but we kind of try to just showcase everything that we have in the collection, and I've been trying to do that over the past three or four that we've done. We had Hawthorne Nights that we did last, well, I guess it was a year and a half ago because we didn't do it last November, but the last Zoot Fest was Hawthorne Nights, which was like a small big band composed by Bill Holman, and as luck would have it, Zoot was Bill Holman's favorite tenor player because Bill Holman played tenor as well. So it's like, these guys are just everywhere, and they influence all the different composers or different players. I mean, they were really important. And I got to say, like, Alcone might not be a household name among people that listen to jazz, but he was involved with everything that people listen to. You know, he was responsible for a lot of it, whether he did the arrangements or he was in the saxophone section or he was this or that. You know, they were just all over the place. So it's really interesting.
So how are you conceiving this one?
Well, this one, I mean, we've been doing a lot, and we're kind of like getting a little thin on Zoot-related things, although we have a big one in store for the next one if I can make it work, but I'm not going to tell you what that is yet. I'm going to wait. But this one, we're doing Benny Carter music that was donated to the collection by Phil Woods. And there were two records in the 60s that Benny Carter did. One was called Further Definitions, and that was in 1961, and then another one was Additions to Further Definitions, and that came out in 1966. The first one was in New York City, and that was four saxophones and a rhythm section. So they had Benny Carter, Phil Woods, Coleman Hawkins, and Charlie Rouse with a rhythm section. And then the second one they did, that was actually the East Coast type vibe one in terms of personnel, and they recorded it in New York City. But then in 1966, for whatever reason, Benny Carter was out in L.A., and they recorded it with five saxophones and rhythm section. So they had Benny Carter, Bud Shank, Buddy Collette, Teddy Edwards and Bill Hood on baritone, and that five saxophone and rhythm section thing is what we're going to do this year as the second half, because I do like a small group first half, and then I do like a larger kind of themed second half. The saxophone section for the Benny Carter stuff, we're going to have Nelson Hill on alto saxophone and Neil Wetzel from Moravian College on alto saxophone as well. And then Dave Dempsey, who is the head of jazz studies at William Patterson University. He's been doing a lot of stuff with the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra recently. We're going to have him on tenor. Craig Yuremko, who's another guy in the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra on tenor. And local saxophonist Jay Ratman doing his thing on baritone that he does so well. So that's going to be the second half. And then the first half, we're going to have the local NEA jazz master, Dave Liebman. We're going to have him playing tenor saxophone, and we have Vincent Herring, an alto saxophone heavyweight, coming out and playing with a local rhythm section of Dave Lenhart on piano, Paul Rostock on bass, and Bill Goodman on drums. And that same rhythm section we'll be playing in the second half with the saxophone section as well. So a lot of saxophones, a lot of interesting music, though.
It's a great concept, Matt, because there are people who know and love the albums, but even if they don't know the album, there is the thrill of having these current musicians make this music their own and make it fresh for our time. And so when do we see it, and are there things related supporting events?
Well, yes, actually. The concert is on Thursday night, March 29th. This is at the Cecilia Cohen Recital Hall in the Fine and Performing Arts Center on campus, and it's at 7 o'clock. So the first Dave Liebman and Vincent Herring with the rhythm section will be at 7 o'clock, and then there'll be a little intermission, and then we'll have the Benny Carter stuff at 8. And then also as part of the program, afterwards, everybody can go over to the Deerhead Inn and either sit and listen or take part if you're a horn player or a rhythm section player in the jam session that is from 9 to 11. And then they're going to have their full menu and everything there. So if you want to get any kind of food or refreshments or anything like that, or just hang out and listen to everybody, you know, hopefully some of the guys in the concert will go over there afterwards and play some more and hang out. So that'll be the after party kind of thing. You can get any other information on the website, which is esu.edu/jazz@esu, all one word.
Now, what will you be doing for that night? Are you logistically...
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be like making sure everything works. So my horn is going to be packed up in the case, as usual. I'll be telling everybody all the information they need to know and making sure the whole thing runs smoothly. So that's a nice local section of sax players there. It's just nice to hear it, you know, like the old, like you were saying, the old style. You know, all these guys had a certain sound, and you kind of associate that with the music and the arrangements in a way. But then when you hear these guys do it, I mean, you can hear, like, how good the arrangements were. And it has nothing to do with the sound of those. I mean, it does have something to do with the sound of those guys and the whole vibe of the classic recording. But when you hear the modern guys do it, I mean, it sounds just as good. And you can hear their voices kind of recreating this thing, which is interesting.
And remind people about the connection between Phil Woods and Benny Carter.
Well, you know, Phil always talked about, he has a famous story about Charlie Parker. He has a couple, you know, about looking up to him and then, like, wanting to be Charlie Parker and meeting him when he was playing at this strip club in New York City, and he was fighting with his mouthpiece and everything else, and he met Charlie Parker and this and that, and another story about the cherry pie and everything with Charlie Parker. But Benny Carter actually was one of Phil's idols, and he got to work. I guess there was a little more hands-on experience between Phil and Benny Carter, and a lot of Phil's writing is a reflection of Benny Carter as well. You know, they worked a lot together. They were in a lot of bands together. And, you know, I think Phil really respected him, really looked up to him, because Benny Carter was kind of like the complete musician. You didn't really hear of Charlie Parker, like, arranging for big band and doing all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And that's just part of what Phil wanted to do, was play like Charlie Parker. But, I mean, what Phil ended up doing then, writing all the big band music and the saxophone quartet music we've been doing and this and that, you know, was kind of all in the footsteps of Benny Carter.
So it's really appropriate that you're doing this, not just because Phil gave it to the collection,
right,
but there is that personal tie.
Sure, and especially because he was on the first record that he did with these guys, you know what I mean? It's like he was involved with the entire process. And, you know, the thing is, like, with Phil and everything, because he only passed away a couple years ago now, you know, so he was actively involved, like, right up until the very end. And all these people that are playing, like, Nelson Hill was a student of Phil's from when he was in high school. Jay Ratman's been very, very close to him. And then in recent years, Dave Dempsey and Neil Wetzel and Craig, all being in the big band, dealing with Phil, developing a relationship with him. And then we have Liebman, who is another NEA jazz master, just like Phil. And we have Vincent Herring, who was, once again, very close with Phil, right up until the very end, you know. And Bill Goodwin, of course, was in his band for 30 years plus. So it's all, a lot of these people were, it's kind of like the very second line, like, close to the source, you know what I'm saying? So they can communicate that experience.
Matt Beschlichen, saxophonist and coordinator of the Al Cohn Memorial Collection, speaking with us about Zootfest that will take place this Thursday, March 29th, beginning at 7 o'clock in the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall of the Fine and Performing Arts Center on the campus of East Stroudsburg University. At 7 o'clock, there will be a tribute to Al and Zoot, Al Cohn and Zoot Sims, featuring NEA jazz master Dave Liebman, Vincent Herring, and an all-star rhythm section, locally tied, locally rooted, Dave Lenhart piano, Paul Rostock bass, and Bill Goodwin drums. At 8 p.m., the saxophone section of the Watergap Jazz Orchestra will feature music from this recording, the Benny Carter recording, Further Definitions. Thank you. Saxophone section is Nelson Hill, Neil Wetzel, Dave Dempsey, Craig Yaremko, and Jay Ratman, all joined by the rhythm section. The evening will conclude with a jam session starting at 9 p.m. at the Deerhead Inn, 5 Main Street in Delaware Water Gap. That jam session, there is no charge for admission, and tickets for Zootfest can be purchased online, and that's esu.edu/jazz@esu, esu.edu/jazz@esu. And that's Zootfest. It's an annual event, an evening of jazz honoring jazz legends, Al Cohn and Zoot Sims, this Thursday, March 29th at 7 in the Cecilia S. Cohen Recital Hall on the campus of East Stroudsburg University. For more information on the web, esu.edu.